Although we'd like to hear it at the start of a few of the Opals and Matildas games coming up in the Olympics. Phil Murphy is the host of ESPN Sports Centre. He's back with us on a Tuesday morning. There's a bit happening in the Olympics. Phil, good morning.
Good morning. How are you boys going?
Mate, we are going very, very well. And it's us against you in the next couple of key games for the Opals and the Matildas. Australia taking on the US in the basketball. It's for the quarterfinals to continue on. And in the soccer, it's a bronze medal match.
Yeah, and don't look too far ahead. You could get the same thing in a semifinal match for the Boomers against Team USA, but that'll be another conversation for another day. I want to talk about the Matildas. I mean, they have been the thorn in the side of my beloved U.S. women's national team for a few years now. You look at the U.S.'s success against the rest of the world, their last 83 competitive matches overall. They played Australia four times, one win, two draws, and a loss. So pretty even, bang on. The other 79 games, the U.S. has 70 wins, 5 draws, and 4 losses. So it shows they have this ability to dominate the rest of the world, but when it comes to the Matildas, things have been pretty honors even across the board, and we saw that in the group stage, kind of a cagey nil-nil draw to close things out. Now with much more at stake, a bronze medal, they meet again at the same site that they had that nil-nil draw just a few days ago. So it certainly will mean more historically for the Matildas. Now, does that mean that the U.S. may have extra motivation to not leave Tokyo empty-handed? I mean, that's what we'll find out in a few days' time.
Well, I must admit, Phil, I haven't been paying too much attention to the way that the USA have been going in either the men's or the women's, I must admit. I've been a bit bored with them, but I've been focusing on the Opals, and we hadn't been going very well up until last night. Surely we're nowhere near the threat that perhaps we once were.
Well, no, I mean, and that's the case with, the U.S. across the board has won, the last 4 Olympic gold total medal counts? They've had gold the last 2 Olympics, 4 overall. And now we move to you want to talk men's basketball, women's basketball. I mean, heck, in the pool, it seems like the Australia and the USA just seem to gravitate toward one another. And I'm so disappointed that I couldn't make it to Tokyo myself. I was booked and set to go. And that got pulled last minute because of some coronavirus concern and, them wanting to limit some of the media on the ground. So that was going to be my story when I was there, was tracking this kind of budding rivalry between two nations that the U.S. has, statistically a much larger population. Australia is, 1/10 of the size, but, I mean, punching above the weight class in that sense. And now with the quarterfinal berth for the Opals, the U.S. stands in the way. The U.S. are prohibitive favorites there. Unlike the men, the U.S. women swept their way through the opening round. Only China had a better point differential than Team USA. So I think if you're looking for an upset on the hardwood, I think the Boomers in the semifinal are more likely. They have work to do to get there with Argentina ahead of them. More imminently, a little over 24 hours from now, it'll be the Opals against the U.S. women.
Now I'm sensing a bit of convenience here, Phil. I'm sensing convenience that you're not starting with the USA women's soccer team, who are the world champions, they're the gold medalists, they've won everything in the last couple of years, they've been a dominant force, and they're no longer a part of the Olympic campaign. Got beaten by Canada yesterday to be given the Kuiper. It's all over.
Well, that's what I was talking about, the record, the U.S. women against the Matildas, how they've been, 1 win, 2 draws, and a loss in the last 4. And now that's what's at stake in this bronze medal match. For the U.S. women, though, I mean, you look at the roster, it is a lot of their stars are past their prime, whereas you look at the makeup of, say, the Matildas, where, how many women on that team have 80 to 90 caps and, are still in their late 20s. I mean, it's just a lot of those girls have been playing on the national team for 8-9 years and are just reaching their athletic prime. Whereas for the U.S. women's team, I mean, you have some mid-30s, even I think Megan Rapinoe's 36. This is what was going to happen. So it's kind of a gap in the golden generations for the U.S. women.
Yep.
That if there's a time to get them, it's now. And maybe perhaps 2023 as well when the World Cup comes your way.
It's going to be very interesting. Very interesting. Obviously, Australia missing Liz Cambage in the basketball. I mean, that's a huge loss, and that was always going to be the problem when she pulled out. But anyway, that's the way it goes. Simone Biles, I mean, there's been so much talk about her, obviously because she hasn't competed apart from one vault to this point, but she's coming back. But the surprising thing for me, Phil, is that she's coming back on what appears to be one of the hardest disciplines of all, go on the beam.
Yeah, it seems to be it was more an issue of time rather than being able to conveniently pick an event, because for her, her strongest events were the vault and the floor. The floor was yesterday, and Jade Carey of the U.S. won gold there. And that has been at least the silver lining of the narrative here in the U.S. with the immediate shock of Simone Biles pulling out of the team competition and then the individual all around, is that a lot of the women who have stepped up in her place, be it Suni Lee winning all around gold, keeping the U.S. streak alive that dates back to 2004, or Michaela Skinner taking silver, or Jade Carey winning gold in the floor yesterday, there have been other stars to step up in her absence. So from a pure USA Gymnastics standpoint, that has kind of softened the blow of Biles' absence. And I think for the beam, it's not that she's necessarily choosing to compete on the beam. It's kind of a now or never situation. She's gone all the way to Tokyo. Like you said, apart from one vault, has just been the team's biggest cheerleader. Now she gets a chance to compete in what will certainly be her last Olympic Games at age 24. So the unfortunate thing is, had she decided prior to the Olympics that this was it, she would retire, that in terms of the U.S. discourse, there'd be no debate as to who is our greatest all-around women's Olympian ever. It would have been Simone Biles, given all that she's done in the Olympics and the World Championship stage. You know, now with stepping out, even under the circumstances where she was very, emotionally honest and wanting to pull out as a result of just not being ready psychologically, that now that somehow calls into question what is already on her CV. If she comes back and medals in balance beam, it's a great redemption story. If not, I think it's all around still success for U.S. women's gymnastics. And they kind of found some new stars in Suni Lee, Jade Carey, and Michaela Skinner.
Athletics obviously takes center stage, particularly as we get sort of towards the middle part of the whole Olympics and into the second week. The Americans, at least at this stage, aren't dominating. Is that a surprise, or is that just the reality of where they're at the moment?
I think it is a reality of where they're at. I mean, you look at past Olympics, it has been some of the U.S. women U.S. women have accounted for 60% of our medals. I can speak in first person. They've accounted for 60% of our medals in athletics. And you look at some of the people there via injury or suspension, in the case of Sha'Carri Richardson, that some gold medal contenders are not present. I still think there are a number of medals to be won by the U.S., and I think it's ultimately why they will win the medal count and probably even catch China in the gold medal count. But, I mean, it's the reality of it. I mean, you know, yes, the U.S. has a great sporting history. It's why, you know, I come on the radio with you guys so often. It's just the rest of the world is having a tremendous Olympic Games. And we had an Italian sprinter winning the men's 100-meter, and we had a Qatari high jumper sharing gold with an Italian. A lot of new countries are finding stars, and it speaks to just the way the world's getting smaller in a good way. A lot of these guys are friends and training partners from across the globe. You know, it's the beauty of sport that you can find these heroes, these kind of diamonds in the rough to be your sporting heroes. And, you know, if the U.S. is at the top and they can see a few medals here or there, that's the reality. But I think it's overall a good thing. But then again, when you have a nation that, like Jamaica on the track, it just seems unbeatable in all of the sprinting events, the women's 100 sweeping the thing. It also makes a fun narrative there as well. So I'm finding optimism in it, but I do still think the U.S. will have to make some room in their checked bags for the trip back to Tokyo.
Yeah, and I'm okay with them not winning and dominating, I must admit, the U.S. They've been doing it for so long, I've had a gutful. It's time for somebody else to step up. Jamaica and their sprinting has been absolutely magnificent, as you say. Hey, just before we let you go, Phil, and we talked to you about the NBA draft last Friday because we had a local interest in Josh Giddey. Now, we were suggesting that Golden State were very, very keen on his services, a pick 7, and then after that, maybe the Pelicans might get involved. But the OKC Thunder jumped in at 6. Was that a surprise?
Yeah, it was a little bit of a surprise. But again, I had said to you guys, his trajectory was moving upward. There were a lot of teams and scouts that were very happy with what they saw in pre-draft camps and when they had chatted to him. I mean, he comes from a sporting family, so, you know, he's very savvy talking to the media. He's grown up around professional sport. It's not a surprise that he's mature beyond his years. And I think the fact that Golden State was sitting there at 7, Oklahoma City probably thought that Golden State being keen on Josh, they were gonna take him at that selection. So for Oklahoma State, it was now or never, and they decided to take a guy who was very high on their board, bringing him to Oklahoma City. Now, God bless Josh. I've been to Oklahoma City. It is very dissimilar to Melbourne or any of your other population centers in Australia. It is kind of in the middle of nowhere. But I think he's going to fit in nicely to that team, have some opportunity to mature in that system. It's going to be a very young roster. They have, 18 first-round picks in the next 7 years. Sam Presti is taking a long-term vision for this and really trying to build his team through the draft. Josh is a centerpiece of it, and he's going to be the number six overall pick, the highest ever Aussie, I should say, going from NBL directly to NBA in a draft, going at number six overall. There's going to be a lot of eyes on him and seeing what he does. Expectations are high, but he seems ready to live up to them.
There were some very happy people around these parts, don't you worry about that when that happened. And, of course, he won't be sharing a locker room with Russell Westbrook because he's off to LA for another crack at a super team for LeBron.
Yeah, we're calling it the Brody bromance. Russell Westbrook going from Washington, D.C. to L.A., and now L.A. is $24 million over the cap, and they can hardly fill out a starting five with guys on their roster. So there's going to take some roster gymnastics, the like of Simone Biles, to make things work. There are rumors that they're not done wheeling and dealing, that they still want to try and get a stab at Buddy Hield, if it means a couple sign-in trades with Dennis Schroeder. And I don't know how they're going to pull that off. But
What about Patty Mills? Because he's been linked to the Lakers as well, hasn't he?
I mean, that they're going to need some people who are veterans who they can get for a discount, maybe like a J.J. Redick. They still need shooting. They need to get it at a discount. And that's where it's going to take some real roster magic. But that's where having LeBron James in the mix is a massive asset, because people see him as a shortcut to a championship. And if you have somebody who is ring-starved, willing to go there at a potential discount, it's a great place to go. And I think we saw last year how well they played against the Suns in the two games they worked it. That's the big thing with them, limiting minutes for LeBron and Anthony Davis. Russell Westbrook takes some of that weight off of them. And, you know, right now they're second favorite to the Nets in terms of, you know, any punters markets to win the NBA championship, which makes them the favorites in the West as a 7 seed that got eliminated in the first round. So expectations are very, very high in Los Angeles. That's nothing new. But I don't think we're done quite yet hearing the Lakers' names. It's going to be very impressive to see how they're able to pull this off within salary cap bounds for next season.
And we will see. It's certainly going to be a little bit gymnastics, as you rightly say, Simone Biles style. Now, I reckon we should go one all. An even split's good for us, Phil, I reckon. We'll take the Matildas over Team USA for the bronze medal, and you can have the Opals for Team USA in the basketball quarterfinals and progress for a medal chance. How's that sit with you?
Well, again, we can talk in 48 hours or so for the rubber match of likely Team USA men against the Boomers, maybe to decide things. So I like Team USA's chances overall in that best of three. But again, Australia has been surprising the U.S. in the pool and in a couple other disciplines, so nothing would surprise us.
Yeah, that is going to be the kicker, I reckon. We'll see how we go. Hey, mate, great to chat as always. Appreciate your time.
Great to chat again.